I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Harper Lee is known for her novel To Kill a Mockingbird, but a second recently discovered work is about to be published, Go Set a Watchman. That was written before To Kill a Mockingbird. And here to throw a little light on that and much more, on the phone, I think in Utah, a best-selling author, Ridley Pearson. He's written dozens of novels for both children and adults. His latest was The Red Room. I guess that was last year. Hi, Ridley. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And here in the studio, joining us is Chris Kleindienst. She's a co-owner of Left Bank Books, and they're going to have a big release party on Tuesday, July 14th to honor this. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Ridley, I went to, you're in Utah, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in, Idaho.
Oh, Idaho, excuse me. I knew it was that direction.
That's right. I'm pushed up against the border with Wyoming here. So.
I went to your Facebook page yesterday, and you'd posted a picture a couple of days ago that you were somewhere, Sawtell, is that near where you live?
Sawtell Peak, it's, we have membership in a little fishing a fishing compound here about 30 miles west of Yellowstone, and we look up onto Sawtell Peak, which used to have a NORAD installation, and the government has converted that into a weather watch system, maybe air traffic control. But yeah, I'm in the middle of nowhere, Steve.
Well, it looks beautiful, but at least you're not...
It's gorgeous.
At least you're not down south in the 1950s.
Exactly.
Ridley, To Kill a Mockingbird, what did the novel mean to you as an author yourself?
Well, I reread the book maybe every 2 years, 3 years or so. I bet I've read it 15, 20 times. It's for me, there are good American novels, and then there are sort of perfect American novels, and I put this as one of the most perfect American novels. It's captured me from when I was made to read it as a kid on. My kids were made to read it and didn't like it nearly as much as I did. But as a writer, it has everything in it, and it's all well done. It has adult themes and really good, strong adult characters like Atticus. It has terrific child characters. In fact, its point of view is a child character. It has scary elements with the Boo Radley. It has really important social issues and criminal law. It's just hard to, it's hard to see what it doesn't have. It's just, and then it turns out that Harper Lee is just a magician with words. So the whole thing is told so eloquently and wonderfully that I really return to it as a teaching, really to teach myself about writing every couple of years. And when I taught briefly in, Shanghai, China, at the college level, I used it as our textbook.
Huh. You know, the movie, I remember the movie from a kid, and it just is burned into my memory because, well, at the time, you know, the issues that it addressed, race, prejudice, all those things were, I'd never seen them portrayed that way in film before, and yeah. I was, young at the time. It really affected me. Chris, what about you?
Well, it affected me, too, and I have to agree with Ridley. This book is deservedly in the pantheon of great American literature. I have not reread it nearly as often as Ridley has, but I'm rereading it now in anticipation of the new book, and I'm completely captivated. It's absolutely correct. It has everything in it.
Okay, this is the strange part of the story. Harper Lee is now 88 years old. To Kill a Mockingbird was the only novel she ever published. And when did that come out?
1960.
Right. So then now there's a new book, a new novel that was evidently written before To Kill a Mockingbird, and somehow it's related to it. It's called Go Set a Watchman. But they're being very tight-lipped about it. Do we know anything about it?
We do. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. We know that she wrote it first, submitted it first, and the editor said, I really like this character. Would you go back and take those flashbacks? And I want to hear from her when she was that age. So Harper went back and wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, which is what got published. Meanwhile, she had a finished novel sitting there that she then did not want to have published, presumably until this year.
My understanding was that she'd forgotten about it.
I don't think as a writer you ever forget about it. What the stories I've read about the actual manuscript, she was under the guidance of a very strong-willed sister, Alice. And it was Alice's passing that was the catalyst to all of this. As I understand it, Alice's safe deposit box was opened, and boing, there's Ghost had a watchman sitting on top. It had always been agreed, especially by Alice, that this would not be published. But there it was, and it came out, and someone said to, you know, Harper, do you want to publish this now? And she agreed to do it, and that, I think, is what's caused all the controversy. It's interesting, Steve, as a writer, because, and I think, Chris, you'd agree with this, just in reading the book, is it's a little... I'm first in line. I had this thing ordered the moment I heard it was coming, and I have a hard copy being delivered, I think, this weekend. But it's a little disturbing to me as a writer to release a similarly themed, if not plotted, book from simply a different point of view. And I don't know how you feel about it, Chris, but I'm actually a little anxious about this whole thing.
Well, I'm anxious, too. Curious, anxious. I think To Kill a Mockingbird would be a very hard act to follow. I wonder if some people will see this book as truly the first draft, the new one, Ghost at a Watchman. I did get up and read the one chapter that The Guardian published this morning, the first chapter, and it's told in the third person, not the first person, but it's still...
Right.
It's still, you know, Scout's point of view.
Okay, I want you to talk more about that first chapter you've read. But before we do that, what about these rumors? You know, I don't want to spread rumor. But is she not speaking about it publicly? Because some people are insinuating that maybe she's being tricked into releasing this. Or what's the story?
She is in a nursing home, and very few people are allowed access to her.
Correct.
So we don't, I think a lot of us just don't know.
Who has a mom in a nursing home in St. Louis as we speak, and she's an artist. My own mom, and I can't speak for Harper Lee, would be in no position now to, give away some of her former paintings. She would do it in a heartbeat if you asked, because she's just so sweet, but it wouldn't be the wisest decision she could make.
Well, do we know why that she has never published anything since until now?
She wrote the perfect book.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, really? I mean, I know people...
That would be my answer, Steve, honestly, is that, you know, she was dear friends with Truman Capote, and I can't see that Truman wouldn't have egged her on to write more. But some of us... Now, this is not my problem. I'm going to be publishing my 51st book or something in April, but some of us have that book in us. You know, we have the one book in us, and just stare at the page the next time we sit in front of a blank page and say, well, what would I do? I've said it all. And I think, as a reader, I can't imagine what more she had to say. I don't know how you feel, Chris, but I feel like that book says it all.
It does. It absolutely does. It's a very strange... You know, we're in this era of more, more, more. You know, it's like,
if
that worked, well, give me 10 more exactly like it. And so it's almost inconceivable to us in these sensibilities in this time that, you know, it's like the Mona Lisa. Did he have to paint a million more of them?
You know, there's so many rumors. And Ridley, you mentioned Truman Capote, and there are people that say that maybe Truman Capote had something to do with the writing. Do you put any credence in that?
Well, Truman Capote is a character. You know, he's the boy who arrives that summer. But no, I don't think he wrote actually wrote the book with her?
That's what some people say.
I don't know who those people are. I would doubt that very much.
Well,
you know, my opinion, just again, and it has nothing to do with reality, but as a writer, we also don't know how strong Alice was as a personality. And for all we know, Harper Lee may have tried to write more books. And it may have been Alice who put the hammer down and said, no, this isn't good enough. I mean, we don't know. Until we read a memoir, if there is one anywhere, we simply won't know. I do know some people here in Idaho who, when they lived in the East, were neighbors of the woman they call Nell, who is Harper Lee. And they knew Harper Lee very, very well. And they said she's just the sweetest, most wonderful woman. But they've never said that they And they, you know, they went over to her house and everything else. They've never said that they saw her writing or anything like that. So I sure couldn't answer for Harper Lee on that.
Ghost at a Watchman is going to be released Tuesday the 14th. And you said you've read the first chapter, which has been released, Chris. Could you tell us briefly about that?
It opens with Jean Louise, a.k.a. Scout, on a train coming home for a visit. And it's, you know, the writing is quite familiar. And she is an adult now, a young adult, and she is picked up by a gentleman who is not Dill. And I don't want to really say there's some big stuff that happens in that chapter.
You know, Ridley, are you? You said you were sort of concerned about this. Is that because you think it'll be a problem to be as good as the first book? Is that what you were getting at?
No, I mean, I think my concern would be that it'll be the same book.
Oh.
I mean, just the title tells me, you know, Ghost at a Watchman is clearly when the... Now, I say clearly, having not read the book, Steve, I'm probably being a jerk here, but to me, the title, I don't know for you, Chris, but the title speaks to that moment in To Kill a Mockingbird when they're trying to guard the jail.
Sure.
So to me, it says this is the same story told from a different point of view, and maybe even as we know, it is set with an older scout, but as one who accepts the opinion of editors, editors are often right. You know, they're often very clever and right in saying, hey, this is a perfectly good story. It's going to be 10 times stronger through this person's point of view with no flashback.
Chris, you're going
My concern, Steve, just to close off here, is that it may be the same book.
Well, we're going to have a release party, not we. Left Bank Books is going to have a release party. What are you doing? You're doing an all-day readathon, and what else?
Well, we're going to open at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning and with, you know, coffee and donuts and start reading To Kill a Mockingbird. People are signing up. Customers are signing up for 15-minute segments all throughout the day. It's about a 12-hour process. And throughout the day, there will be refreshments. And we're just going to enjoy revisiting that book before people dig into the new one, which goes on sale that day.
And if you'd like more information about the release party at Left Bank Books, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have more information about that. So how big a deal is this, Ridley?
It's a huge, huge deal. And if I were in St. Louis, I would grab a lawn chair and I would come to Left Bank Books and sit there. I would hope they would have tea along with their coffee, and I would love to hear this book read aloud. I think I'd stay the whole 12 hours. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the world of literature, it's a big deal because there's controversy around it, and it may be legitimate controversy, but we're hearing for the last time, certainly, from one of the great writers in the 20th century.
I have to stop you there, Ridley. Thank you so much, though. We appreciate your insight, and we'll all look forward to getting our eyes on it Tuesday, July 14th. Ridley Pearson, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Chris Kleindienst is the co-owner of Left Bank Books, and we'll see you Tuesday, July 14th.
All right. Thank you.
And you might remember that we recently talked to Eric Christensen a few weeks back about his interactive late-night talk show, STL Up Late. Well, tomorrow night, I'm honored enough to be Eric's guest, along with the band The Foglights. The show is at 9 p.m. tomorrow night at Anani Arts on Locust in Midtown. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what they're going to ask me, what I'm supposed to do, but it's going to be fun. I know it is. If you'd like more information about tickets, go to stluplate.com. I hope you can join us tomorrow night for STL Up Late. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to remember and take a look at Cinema St. Louis's Filmmaker Showcase and the 2015 St. Louis Cabaret Festival. And in the next installment of Soundbites produced with Sauce Magazine, we'll talk about the best happy hours in St. Louis. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air. He'll talk with author, editor, and public policy analyst Goldie Taylor about social equality. He'll also speak with a St. Louisan about his attempt to complete the 27-mile swim around Manhattan. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/cityscape. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with assistance from Evita Caldwell, Aaron Dorr, and Anya O'Connor. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council Estate Agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for joining us.